I was actually lucky to get up. Because just as I was moving all the stuff over to the back of the statue, I heard the gates go and I thought, oh no. And then the police, support constable was coming along near the church of statue. So I thought, oh, that's it. It's blown, because I had all the equipment, if you like, red-handed. So I just thought, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll walk over with the last two bags as if I'm dumping them, you know, because there was a couple of black rubbish bags. So right. I had the two in my hand, and then I went to the rubbish bags and just kind of threw them like as if it was rubbish. I went to get the other two, which were right up on the church of statue. and I couldn't believe it. He just walked past. So, and then after that, I was a bit, kind of stressed then. Because it took a while, because there's like four big bags to come up. So I had to sort of tape rope up onto the side of the statue, tape it up high. And then I had to then get up onto the statue. And then I had to pull the ropes up with all the baggage. So, but of course, you know, any minute. I mean, I could have been up on the statue and they could have grabbed all the bags. So then that would have been a pointless task. So I was really relieved once they were all up. And then it wasn't so long, one of the policemen from the Parliament gates came over. And then a van turned up and there was about six police. And I just said I was going to demonstrate. They said, how long for? And I said, well, I'd like to go into, you know, Wednesday during the day. And they said, well, you're not allowed to put posters on the statue. And they thought I'd defaced it because I put Churchill on strike. He's got a black armband with on strike, large. So they thought I'd painted it on. I said, no, it's all on black, that tape. And then we've got the signs up on the, and they said that's defacing it. It could be criminal damage. So I said, I'm willing to, you know, it's only tape. When I bring it, when it all comes down, I can clean it. But if there's any damage, I said, then, you know, we can make good of it. So they put that on record. And then they just said, well, okay, just be careful. Don't fall. And away they went. Of course, since then, I put the barbed wire around. In effect, I'm in a concentration camp. So surrounded by barbed wire. I've got little teddy bears and little dollies, you know, with bandages on. So they're all wounded and they all need the medical assistance very urgently. And that's exactly the scenario that's happening in these camps in Sri Lanka. They've got like something like 75% are women and children, civilians held in these camps illegally. And there's no sort of outcry internationally. In a sense, they're being forgotten about. And because the United Nations hasn't gone in to secure the place, the Red Cross are not able to get in to give medical assistance. So there's people dying every single day, dying of a lack of food, lack of water. There's disease. There's tremendous heat, as we realise. There's something like up to 30,000 who've lost limbs. They're getting absolutely no treatment. There are doctors and nurses on the camps, but it's no good if you don't have any equipment, and that's the scenario. There's no, I mean, all their clothes are dirty. There's sanitation virtually doesn't exist. So, you know, there's no clean bandages. These wounds, they've got to be clean. They've got to be dressed properly. So, in effect, I did speak to somebody, an aid worker, and I said, well, really, they are going to die, aren't they? And she said, well, yes. Because there's nothing preventing that happening. So, and of course the disease is spreading. You've got the heat. The camps are full of soldiers, and that's unheard of. Soldiers are not allowed in the camps, roaming free. They've even got reports of bunkers within the camps. There's no privacy, there's no security. I think they have one camp on a phone for thousands and thousands of people. So communication is very, very difficult. If anybody wants to visit anybody on a camp, they have to walk from the perimeter fence. I don't know how many kilometres, but to get into the camp. By the time they get there, if you're lucky to find the person you're seeing, you've virtually then got to turn around and go back. So in a sense, it's a pointless exercise and everybody just gets worn out and frustrated. But, I mean, it's a huge emergency. This aid worker I was talking to basically said it's the worst, most alarming place of all the camps now that exist at this moment in time. this is the worst scenario possible. And they're just not getting any help, and they're not even getting international recognition. So, in effect, we're sort of sitting... It's to highlight what is going on in this concentration camp. Churchill, obviously, in the Second World War, they went into Germany, and presumably, supposedly, they liberated, you know, these camps, the concentration camps that... Basically, if I was living in that time right now, I wouldn't know as a civilian of this country the atrocities that were being perpetrated at that time. It was only after the war, when the soldiers went in to liberate, that they actually found the horror of what was happening in the gas chambers. But now the difference is, this is 2009, I am an ordinary citizen. However, I do know, I am aware of these concentration camps. You know, we've been brought up with that is unacceptable. It can't happen or be allowed. You've got the United Nations who have all these rules and mandates to protect this very thing from happening. And even if it unfortunately does happen, then at least after the war, at least then aid is sent into the country, relief, and there's some sort of hope to sort of, you know, help the people, the victims. But in this particular case, that's not happening. And it's just, it's so appalling.